Thank you, Griners, for leading us in our worship, and for each of you in coming, and for the part that you have in our worship time as a church family. The subject we're looking at this morning is God Loves Me or God Loves You. I just happened to notice that each one of the songs that the Griners had on the screen had love in it. In one instance, it was spelled G-R-A-C-E. So this is not a new subject, and what more can you say, really, as you try to share some thoughts about love? But we're gonna try to do that. I asked Megan to read from Psalms, if you'd like to follow and see if she's reading correctly, Psalms 139, verses 1 to 14. Listen to the words of the psalmist as he shares in Psalms. Really interesting. Megan, you're on.
All right, Psalms 139, 1 to 14. O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous all your works, and that my soul knows full well.
Thank you, Megan. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. Help us in our lives, and even at this moment, to just receive your love and then to share that with those around us. So we thank you, Father, for working in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. I suppose I learned about God's love before I could even walk. I know my mother well enough to know that when I was being held in her arms, she sang to me, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. And I think most of you have had that same experience. How many times do I remember having the flannel graph in my Sunday school setting when I was preteen and moving those little things that stick on that board around so that you could create some kind of a scene that showed love? Wow. Those images are even just, I can picture them now. So this is not a new subject for us, and I thought maybe we could come together and sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, and repeat John 3:16 and go home. It'd be good. Last week, Pleasant View went to see Piercing Word. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a ministry that memorizes scripture, and then they act it out, about an hour and a quarter. It was at the Junction Center, and we've seen them several times. And I was impacted by that. It's not a show, it's a ministry, by how much the words of scripture can really have an impact on us. And so I'd encourage you, lesson number one today, to memorize scripture. So do we all know John 3:16? Good. Let's say that together. For God. Well, God loves you. How do you know that? I ask myself these questions when I start to prepare for some thoughts that I want to share. What does God's love look like to you or to me? And how do I know that God loves me? I think they're difficult questions, but we're going to try to grapple with them this morning for a few minutes. Why does God love me? I think the Bible answers that very clearly with one word. It's spelled G-R-A-C-E, grace. God loves because of who God is, not because I have done anything to deserve his love, but he just can't help but loving. God is love. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. But how do we feel that? How do we know in our daily walk that God loves us? You know, some things are loved because they're of value, because they're worthy. And you can name that. We just moved a few months ago, and some things that I thought were valuable, other people thought they were not valuable. Like, what is going on? And so I got to thinking that we know the cost of things, but we don't know their value. Like, Chuck, is a gallon of gas really worth $3.65? I don't know. And so I was looking at the paper yesterday, and I saw that a new pickup could, with all the bells and whistles on it, could cost $75,000. Like, excuse me? Something with four wheels is worth that much? I'm not a big TV watcher or big sports person, but I love to ice skate, and so I've been watching the Stanley Cup, which is the World Series in ice hockey, if you're a ball player. And I discovered a few nights ago that one of the goalies in one of the teams that's in for the finals, he signed a contract for $5 million. Like, is anybody's talent worth $5 million? And that's small, if you know some of the ball players' figures. So some things are loved because of their worth. I looked in the paper on Saturday, and do you know this? The cost of an ounce of gold is $1,944. The cost of an ounce of gold. Like. But then, I want you to think about the other side of this. Some things are worthy, or some things are of value because they're loved. Now, I said some things are loved because they're worthy. Now I'm saying some things are worthy because they're loved. I think in the spiritual realm, that fits us. Let me talk about it in the physical realm. I have four sisters, and I recall my sisters had rag dolls. And when they needed some security or some comfort, they would, like, this doll isn't, to their brother, he was just a pile of material. It wasn't clean, it did look nice, but for them, or how about the cartoon Peanuts? Linus has to have his security blanket. Like, is this a $10,000 blanket? No. But some things are worthy or valuable because they're loved. God's love is not based on our worth. It comes by grace. And it's a free gift that puts value on, really, in my case, an unlovable object. Now, when I love somebody, I enjoy being with them. That could be my wife. We have a daughter that lives in Michigan, so when the Reeds are planning to come to Pennsylvania and visit with us, we stop and go grocery shopping and prepare food for them that they like. It's an obvious thing. We clean the house. It's because they come often. We plan activities that bring them pleasure. I mean, I'll go and wash the four-wheeler. Like, that's the only time I ever wash it, when Danny and Lincoln come. Why do I do that? Because they like to ride that. We make sure the trampoline in the hollow and down at the farm is functioning, because that's for the 10-year-old, 12-year-olds, plenty of time. We stay up half the night expecting them to come. Like, somehow, if we do that, they'll come quicker. But, you know, God feels the same way about us. In Psalms 139, verse 2, Megan read, "You understand my every thought before it enters my mind." Like, wow. In a sense, that's scary. Or in verse 4, "You know every step I will take before my journey begins." Ooh. Or verse 17, "Every single moment you are thinking of me." When we love people, we enjoy being with them. Love in today's life means a lot of different things. I looked in my dictionary, and the definition for love took a fourth of the page on my dictionary. A fourth of the page. I couldn't page through and find other words that had that only definition. There weren't any. So it can mean from anything from a zero score in tennis. I don't play tennis. Is that right, Larry? That's called love. Okay. Or falling in love. So the love we're looking at or talking about this morning is not something you fall into. So in order to understand the word love, I think the biblical understanding of love, we need to know that it's the first fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. Can we name those? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I've written down here so I can do this. Faith, gentleness, and control, self-control. The first fruit of those, the first word of those fruits of the Spirit is love. So let's look deeper into what love might mean. There are four Greek words that help us, I think, in defining love or describing it. The one, and we know this, the one is eros, which is the love between a male and a female. Sexual or physical love based on passion. The Bible doesn't reject this kind of love, but it points out that its goodness is in a framework of marriage. Another Greek word for the kinds of love is philia, which is the highest kind of human love. It's the highest level of friendship. There are times when philia can struggle, when difficulties arise, or when beauty fades. A third kind of love is storge, which is a family love. It's the kind of love that a parent has for a child or a child has for the parent. Brothers and sisters love each other because of family ties. And then the fourth kind of love, and we know this, is agape. It is love and not just merely emotion. Emotion at time in agape love may be totally absent. It's the love that gives, sacrifices, and has compassion. It's portrayed in Romans 5:8. But are you noticing that our sermons all come back to Romans? Romans 5:8. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This love is not always a warm feeling. It may not be an emotion or an affection, but it's an actual determination of the will. Love is more what you do than what you feel. We do not fall into this kind of love. We choose to exercise this kind of love. This week, a friend of mine came up to our, he called me and said that my car is out of gas, I can't go anywhere, and my pocket's empty, I don't have any money. Could you loan me $20? I don't mind doing that. I said, well, if you come over, I'll do that. About an hour later, he called me. His friend called me and says, I lost your $20. I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, well, I went to the store and bought some cough medicine, and I had $15 worth of change, and I put it back in my pocket, and apparently it didn't get in my pocket. So I'm going back to the drugstore and see if I can find my $15 laying on the floor. Can you loan me some more? Now, do I want to lend this friend some more money or not? There's some other things that go into this answer that I'm not going to share with you, but my affection for him waned in that point. Anyway.
It wasn't funny.
Yeah, it is now, but how did I feel when my friend needed $20 more? Psychologists tell us that babies are born not knowing how to love. They have the capacity to receive and experience love. In other words, they learn to love by feeling and seeing how their parents love them and how their parents love each other. This is a good example, I think, of how Jesus and God loving us, how it works. Long before the child knows of love, even before birth itself, the mother loves the child. The mother pours out her love to the child without thought of the child responding. When the baby's days of total dependence and demanding constant attention. Even not so much as returning a smile, the mother still remains strong in her love for the baby. Finally, the child matures and begins to respond. The child smiles, it takes mother's hand, and it does what she does. Child loves mom because mom loved first. Remember, the child doesn't know how to love. How descriptive of our spiritual life. And think about this. God loved us long before we were aware of it, even from the foundation of the world. Wow. He loved us. When we were helpless, unwilling to respond to his love, God loved us. Through the love of God's people and the gospel message, we now see God's love. John 3:18, love must not be a matter of words or talk. It must be genuine and show itself in action. Jesus made love visible. He didn't just send a word from heaven. He didn't shoot out an email and say, I love you. He came, he didn't just discuss God's great love, he demonstrated it. He demonstrated that love by his own life and ultimately by his death on our behalf. Prophets spoke of God's love, yet only when Christ came did people really see God's love. So Jesus tells us to put the love that we have in action. That's our part. Like he says, and this is in Matthew, turn to the other cheek. Give to those who ask of you. Do you have $20 more? Oh, boy. If someone asks you for a coat, give them your undershirt as well. Like, this is starting to hurt. Pray for the persecutors. Speak blessings on those who do you wrong. What kind of love is that? When the Bible speaks of the fruit of the Spirit being love, it refers to a visible expression. Did you ever see invisible fruit? I mean, we have some fruit trees that don't have anything on them, but it's not invisible fruit. It's, I don't know what it is. It's nothing. There is no such thing as an invisible fruit on a fruit tree. Let me say again, and you already know this, that God loves you. Ephesians 5:29, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. I think I got to thinking about all that I do on my body's behalf. And you can relate to this. We all do this. We take vitamins, supplements, we eat, we sleep, we cut our hair or have it cut, we shave, we visit the doctor and the dentist, we brush our teeth, we bandage our scratches, we cut our fingernails and toenails, we go see the chiropractor, we go see the eye doctor, Larry, or whatever. You can add to this list. We exercise, we try to stay in the right temperature. I mean, if it doesn't feel good, we go to some other place where it's hotter or colder. So I'm seldom not conscious of my body. Maybe I'm not intentional about that, but I really do it that way. 1 John 3:1, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us. I love this verse. How great the love the Father has lavished. I don't use that word very much in my daily talking. Lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Chuck, we're a child of God. You said it, we heard it last Sunday and we're hearing it again. Most everything around us, our environment, suggests the opposite of this. We are not worthy. We have failed again. Don't mount a hill of bone or a hill of beans. We fall short. We say this and we... Sometimes that gets to be overwhelming for us. God makes it clear that he accepts us rather delights in us as individuals bearing his image, we do not always sense that divine love. God commands us to love one another. We're moving on with this. This is getting to be very practical and maybe toe-stomping, but I need to hear this. So simple ways that I think we can share God's love to others, and somebody in her opening was suggesting this, how do we lift another person's burdens? When people are involved in the messiness of life, how can we be positive in that? So here's a few ideas I want to share with you. I think that love is listening. This is probably easy to say, easier than it is to do. Many people are looking for an ear to listen, really. In today's culture, it seems like so many voices are speaking. And this is kind of old school, probably, but I'm speaking just personally here. Social media, and this is what I'm saying, it's old school. Social media is giving us the false appearance of a true connection and a real relationship, I think. In fact, this present generation, who are the most connected, is considered the loneliest generation. Like, how can that be with all the technology that we have? Love for God begins with listening to his word. Remember, love is listening. Love for God begins with listening to his word. So the beginning of love for others is learning to listen to them. Christians ought to be the best listeners. Jesus' longest recorded sermon can be read, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, in about 15 minutes, a little shorter, 15 minutes. We begin to love others when we listen to them. Slow down and learn to listen to people. Listen. I listen sometimes with I think it's good, but I listen with the wrong intent. We need to listen to understand that person that's talking. Oftentimes I listen, and when I listen, I'm trying to create a response to them. Really. I don't hear what they're saying. I'm just saying, well, what you think or what you're doing or what you're telling me is all wrong, and I can't wait till they shut up so I can tell them that. I'm not going to tell them that in an effective way, not that strong, but so we need to listen and not be preparing our response. Let somebody that's talking with you just share their mind without interrupting them or without passing judgment. Another suggestion, we show God's love by encouraging. I think this is a big one. I was kind of down when I came to New Beginnings in the morning because I could almost name the four people that would be here, and I thought that was it. I don't love immense church worships, but I love at least the amount that's here. And so we can be encouraging. Our presence is just encouraging. I just give you an example that. But everyone we meet is carrying some kind of a burden. I want you to hear that again, because I don't perceive people that way. I think that Chuck has it all together. But everyone we meet is carrying some kind of a burden. Even the most put-together people have something weighing on them. Just because someone carries it well doesn't mean that it's not heavy. So how can we impact that? How can we help someone's burden become lighter? How can we speak life-giving words into someone's circumstances? I think in this case, love is visible when we affirm others. We affirm them in their gifts. We affirm them in who we see them as being, who God intended them to be. Let me give you an example. This gets very personal. Mary, I appreciate you're leading us in worship this morning, because you have a way of taking some of the daily events of our lives and giving a spiritual lesson to it. Claire and Merrill, I appreciate You're leading us in worship. Because I think back about a husband and wife team that carved out time in their lives to practice and blend together the gifts that God has given you in music. Chuck, I appreciate. We need to figure out, not figure out, we need to find ways to encourage people. Chuck, I appreciate your coming always on Sunday mornings early and setting up chairs, whatever you need. I can't even name the things you need to set up, Chuck. But more than this, you're the kind of guy that helps people restore their lives throughout the work week. Some of that's materially, but some of that is more than materially. We need to be encouragers. We need to affirm. I don't do nearly enough of this. Another idea. I think we show God's love by our generosity. Can you think at one time in your life when somebody was extremely generous? And at the moment you said, wow, I can't believe that they did this for me. Before my wife and I came to New Beginnings, we were part of Chickies. And at Chickies, we each have our own mailbox. It wasn't long after we were married that somebody put in our mailbox five $100 bills. So we didn't discover this until after worship service on Sunday morning. There was no name on it. We didn't know who the giver was. But at that time, we happened to be going through something in our life that was heavy for us, and somebody knew about that. And so they were generous. We need to be generous. You need to be, there needs to be some discretion in that, how you do that, and it's not always in money, but I share this because it's been 43 years now since we got $500, and I still remember that. It made an impact on our lives. For God so loved the world that he gave. We love our spouses, we love our children, and we love our friends, so we give to them. How can we be generous with our time, with our talents, and with our voice? Think about that. Well, it's time to close out. I think we need to measure God's love by how much of himself he shows us. This is huge. I hope I can say what I'm feeling or what I intend to get across. When I think about God's love, I think about John 3:16, which we just said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. And this is what I want to share with you. What is eternal life? What is eternal life? And this question is answered in John. This is very, when the Holy Spirit showed me this, I just went, wow. John 17:3, eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God. God to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son whom you have sent. Eternal life is to experience God. Eternal life is God revealing himself, satisfying this longing in your heart that you spend time at, I do too, watching TV or the internet or the cell phone or whatever. John 14:21, Jesus says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. I will love him and reveal myself to him. We here gathered this morning are born again. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are new creatures. We don't think like the world, even though the world is really tugging at us in that regard. Many of us can testify that in the days of loss, in the days of darkness, or in the days of suffering, Jesus showed up. I went to a church in Philadelphia some years back, and whenever the preacher would say something that the people agree with, the preacher would ask, do I have a witness? So do I have a witness in that? At some time in your life, Jesus showed up. Amen. Have a witness, right? That's what it means to be loved. That's what it means to be loved. Not that suffering went away quickly. Not even that there was, that the loss went away. But Christ revealed himself to the Holy Spirit. And that's what love is. Are you loved? Jesus loves you. My brother passed away in 06. He died very quickly from a heart attack. He was at the workplace, had no symptoms of end of life coming. 3 weeks before Jim passed, he came to me and said, "Barry, are you afraid to die?" I've only had one brother, but I think that's a very, very deep question for a brother to ask a brother. Are you afraid to die? And it was a cold turkey question. What was he asking for? And what was he telling me that I should know, but I'm not getting? I said, I didn't even know what my answer was. But his answer was, "I'm not afraid to die." And in all seriousness, he just shared that. And I wondered, those 3 weeks, why did Jim ask me that question? But after his passing, I knew. Jim and I had talked about some eternal things. And, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks to us in ways that, in that case, I didn't really recognize. So be aware of God's love, of God's loving you. And think about, when I came this morning, I thought, we ought to just gather in groups and share with each other how God spoke to us in our lives, or recently even, and then maybe even more than that, how can we encourage or be part of bringing wholeness or a positiveness to another person's life? So think about that, and may this week give you those opportunities. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time together. And we thank you for the word. And more than that, Father, we thank you for your love for us. So help us to recognize in our lives and help us to go from this place showing love and really being a love to someone in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.